Welcome to the weekly broadcast of Let's Talk About It, produced by the Public Affairs Department of KXO AM 1230 and FM 107.5 radio. Let's Talk About It is directed by Mario Espinoza with the technical assistance of Carol Buckley. This program brings weekly community mental health issues to your radio. Let's Talk About It is produced for and presented as a public service by Imperial County Behavioral Health Service, Leticia Plancarte Garcia, Director. And now let's join our co-hosts, Patricia Arevalo-Caro and Alfonso Ruiz, for today's program.
Hello, Imperial Valley. Welcome to Let's Talk About It, your weekly wellness radio show brought to you as a public service by Imperial County Behavioral Health. My name is Patricia Arevalo-Caro, and I'm your co-host. I'm glad that you were able to tune in and join us. Our sister show, Expressate, is broadcast on Wednesday mornings at 8 a.m. on Radio Bilingüe 88.7. So if you'd like to listen to any of our shows, please feel free to join in on Wednesday mornings. If you'd like to revisit this show or any of our other shows or share a podcast, we'd love for you to do so. Just go to kxoradio.com, click on the Let's Talk About It and Expressate links on the right side of the page to find a show that interests you. Our radio show calendars, along with information about our various programs and services, are available on our website, bhs.imperialcounty.org. If you want to reach out to us, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email at wellnessradio@co.imperial.ca.us. We also offer community service training courses, which are open to the public, and we're always happy to welcome new participants. Just give us a call at 442-265-7442 to find out about our upcoming classes. We'd like to have you stay connected with us on Facebook, Spotify, and Instagram. If you'd like to give us a like, a care, or follow so you can stay up to date with all our upcoming events, we would love for you to do so. With that, let me introduce you to my co-host, Alfonso Ruiz, and he will introduce today's guest.
All right. Thank you, Patty. Appreciate it. Welcome, Imperial Valley, and a special welcome to our guest today, Melissa Vasquez. Hi, how you doing, Melissa?
Hi, good. Thank you so much for having me here. I'm so excited for today.
Thank you, Melissa. You know what? It's our pleasure. We're really excited to have you here. And for those in the community, you know, Melissa Vasquez, she's a program supervisor here at Behavioral Health, and she's working in the division with youth and young adults. And that's the population that she is serving. We're excited to have you here, Melissa. So we just want to get to know you a little bit so the community gets to know who you are and what brings you here. You know, we're going to be talking about one of the projects or one of the programs that are called HOPE, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But Melissa, talk to us, you know, what drives you here at Behavioral Health? How long have you been working with our agency? And specifically, you know, your journey that led you to supervising this program.
Well, I was born and raised here in Imperial Valley. I graduated from Southwest. Go Eagles. I initially started with Behavioral Health about, I want to say it's going on 9 years. I had the opportunity to start in the triage department, actually. In that time, it was more commonly known as the crisis unit. So I was able to be able to serve the community in a time when their needs were, when they were experiencing a lot of like heightened emotions, exasperation of their like mental health symptoms. And that is what kind of made me fall in love with this field. Just the lives that I was able to impact just for, even if it was one day or two, those connections that I was able to build. So that really drove me to continue my career here. After that, I was able to pursue a career in being a mental health rehab tech for about, I want to say, 4 years. And then most recently, I was promoted to be a program supervisor here in the Holistic Outreach Prevention and Engagement Program. So I'm very lucky to be a part of this project that was known when I started it, which is now a program. And I'm very excited to let the community know of this program that is here to continue providing the services for them and for the youth.
Amazing, amazing. Thank you, Melissa. Shout out, you know, Southwest Eagles. I'm also an alumni from there. I'm not going to, you know, say class of which year because I'm going to give it away. And you'll know a little bit more about my age, but, you know, this is nice. Welcome to a fellow alumni from Southwest. And, you know, Melissa, definitely you have years of experience, within our agency and working with the population. And, you know, one of the things that we always recognize is that, everybody that we have interviewed on our show has a passion for working, with this population in our community, such a need, right? And you already mentioned it. HOPE, stands for the Holistic Outreach Prevention and Engagement. That's what it stands for. A lot of our programs here at Behavioral Health, they start as innovation projects or they start through grants. Melissa, if, you know, tell us a little bit about this one. How did this one start?
Yeah, just how you mentioned, Alfonso, it did begin as an innovation project under the Mental Health Services Act, where back in early 2021, it was brought to the community attention and they asked the community what was needed. So they conducted several surveys to see how the community would benefit from another innovative project. So it was the community's choice, and we heard them. We got their feedback and how they wanted to focus the use of wellness services to increase the access and improve the quality to the mental health services that we were providing. Another one of those requests from the community was how could we prevent more psychiatric emergencies, especially for the group age of 13 to 25, where they did see an increase in the psychiatric emergencies that were happening within our community and some decrease in the accessing of the services and how they would not continue with their services of mental health even after they had a psychiatric emergency from happening. So it was decided that they wanted to use this opportunity, this innovative project, to use these wellness activities because some of the things that they have found was that the traditional outreach and the engagement efforts were not working as well for the youth and young adults population, which is the ages from 13 to 25. So this is how they came across of the idea of starting the Holistic Outreach and Engagement Project, which I am happy to share that we are now a program, and we could talk about a little bit of how we met that goal to become a program.
Definitely. Tell us about that. So what were some of those steps that you guys took to meet it? I mean, such a need. Just, you know, 13 to 25. Full disclosure, I've passed that age range already, but I remember being there and definitely engagement activities and just involving yourself in positive things within the community is something that helps us all in that critical age. How did we get there?
Oh, yeah, of course, like you mentioned, it's a very, very difficult age that we're going through. A lot of changes, a lot of learning about ourselves or our family values. It's a lot to take in as an adolescent or a young adult. So like I mentioned, the holistic aspect of it. So the holistic approach that was targeted with the whole program is how we didn't really, it's a more unique kind of approach where it's not just focused on their mental health symptoms, but their overall being. So we kind of focus on their mind, their body, and their soul to use and to empower them, to increase the motivation, and to continue with their mental health treatment, reduce that stigma, and of course integrate back into the community. And one of the things that we as a program hope to achieve is that they build those natural supports out in the community. So it's something that we kind of work with our population and how they can build those relationships. Because as you mentioned, Alfonso, when we're teenagers, it's like so difficult to start building this connection. It's like that transition from going from middle school and going to a new high school. It's a whole different environment, getting used to all these different types of schools, or if you grew up with a friend for so many years and you end up going to different schools in a different city, it's a very challenging time.
Yeah, it really
is. So true. So true. And, you know, the young folks that are of this age, 13 to 25, it's, you know, not just the changes with school, but the hormonal changes that are going through their body. They got to decide, you know, they're going to a different school, like you said. And plus another thing, now they have to decide on a career and you know, what they're going to do. And, you know, chances are some of them will have probably graduated by the time they're 25. And so this is a very difficult stage. And for you guys to come in and listen to the community, and, you know, you responded to what the community asked for to do this program, or to, you know, start this program up from the ground up, because it is from the ground up. And to do this is awesome, because nothing like this existed. And, you know, that's really awesome. And the program is still going on. And now this is a program that's an internal program here with Behavioral Health, correct?
Yes, this is an internal program that is offered to active participants within Imperial County Behavioral Health. It is not open to the public, so it does have to be a referral from within our department at this time. So definitely it is very much needed for our department to continue serving this youth, and to, like I mentioned, to prevent all these psychiatric emergencies. And we do want to support their ongoing treatment with Imperial County Behavioral Health.
And so then, if I'm hearing you, like, let's say I'm a parent, right? My daughter's not of age for this program yet. She's little. But a lot of parents have children this age, right? If I'm hearing correctly, then as a parent, I can't just call your office and say, hey, I want to be a part of HOPE if my child isn't already receiving services with youth and young adults. Is that correct? So.
Yes.
Okay. So for those in the community that may not know a little bit of like how our agency works, can you let us know about some of that internal process? So somebody needs to be already receiving services with youth and young adults. And then if they are, what's some of that criteria for them to be a participant in the HOPE project?
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to be somebody that's open to our youth and young adults department. It could be in Imperial County Behavioral Health, or it would be their first time accessing mental health services. However, this, like I mentioned before, it is a preventative program. So there has to be a psychiatric emergency that had occurred, or a hospitalization that had occurred. And this is something that is identified by our providers, such as in the triage department, or if they're actively receiving services with ICVHS. If they're 13 years of age, it would be within the children's department. So whoever responds to the initial psychiatric emergency would be doing the evaluation if they would benefit from this program. It, like you mentioned, Alfonso, it's not something, unfortunately, that you could, as a parent, call and request. It would be within the treatment provider making that recommendation. And as you mentioned, there is a referral process and a criteria process, because obviously we do, like I mentioned, we want to build these kids up. We want to empower them. We want to at a point and in a stage where they could continue to integrate into life. That is our goal here with the HOPE program.
No, I hear what you're saying. I think, you know, I think I was just thinking in the context of a parent. And I hear what you're saying. I think, you know, I think I was just thinking in the context of a parent. And I hear what you're saying. I think, you know, I think I was just thinking in the context of a parent. And you know, the goals and the mission of the program, they're clear. You know, we want our youth and young adults to thrive and really to be self-sufficient, right? I think that's something that we all want. And transitions, you know, not only hormonal, but we're talking about, You know, we're going from junior high to high school during this age range in high school. They're talking to us about, you know, the future. What do you want to do when you're an adult, right? And you're like, well, I don't know. I'm 15. But in 3 years, you're 18, right? And you kind of have that pressure of choosing a course in life, whether it be traditionally going to school and higher education. And this adds a lot of extra stressors in life. And we all cope differently. One of the keys that I heard you say, Melissa, is that in order for one of the eligibility criteria is like having that psyche a little bit broad. And so our listeners know what that criteria is.
Yeah, so
our listeners know what that criteria is.
Yeah, so a psychiatric emergency can be described as somebody who's exhibiting like very high levels of mental health symptoms, such as like having consistent panic attacks or exhibiting the suicidal ideations, or have had an attempt of suicidal attempt. So these are some examples of like what a psychiatric emergency would consist of. This is when we step in of just to prevent that from escalating to a possible hospitalization, or of course we don't want a suicide attempt to go escalate from that. So that is why this program is a preventative program. That is one of the things that we do look into, like what is happening with the youth, what has been offered and what is not working, so that we could implement another support system, because this program is, of course, it's a short-term program that we use to, like I mentioned, to support the outpatient clinic at a target and prevent those occurrences from happening. And the stressful time of them choosing and their interests, that is something that we do try to target. So this program is very individualized, because they're the ones that are guiding us into what they want to do. So we base it off of their interests and their goals or their hobbies, and we try to work with them in regards to linking them to these community activities and these community vendors based on their interests. So it's a way of giving them that self-sufficiency that you mentioned, and that empowerment, that motivation after exhibiting this psychiatric emergency or a suicidal attempt.
Okay. And, you know, I think something that we've talked about before is different activities that are very beneficial for us. And I'm hearing that this program is there to support you. So if I'm, you know, part of this program, and one of the positive outlets that I would like to participate in was like going to the gym, right? And kind of using that as my hope, that inspiration. Gyms are expensive. Gyms are pretty expensive.
That's something that we would work on as a team. Of course, being located locally within their city, of course, to make it prevent those barriers from happening, right?
Or their not being able to participate in these wellness activities that might be of benefit. And like you mentioned, yes, the gym is something that is very requested. I do want to give a shout out to all these gyms that have been very welcoming of our services, very supportive, and it just comes to show how the community is. These access support our youth with all these accesses to their services as well. But it is something that that we would be able to, and that we hope that they feel comfortable to request that, because we're here. That's what we're here for, to listen to their interests, to their hobbies, and what they want. These services, and have that confidence. If somebody shares that they are interested in animal veterinarian, one of the to explore being a veterinarian,
one of the to explore vet and being a veterinarian, one of the to explore vet and being a veterinarian, one of the things that we would try to target is finding a way for that youth to explore that interest, possibly volunteering at a animal shelter. So it's just that we would be able to help our youth to find that integration back into the, for them to continue with their mental health treatment. And to, of course, for them to continue with their mental health treatment as well.
Okay. And that sounds like an important kind of criteria, right? Like HOPE is here to provide these services for you, to instill that motivation to keep moving forward. But I'm hearing that there also has to be an agreement of, I'm going to continue my involvement in my services, right? So I can continue working towards, you know, bringing down any barriers that may have led me to, you know, that crisis that initially got me here. Is that correct?
Yes, of course, they do have to be an active participant in their mental health treatment, because we do want to for them to be using these wellness activities with the coping skills or the interventions that are being applied through their outpatient clinic, so that they complement each other. So you're getting the whole evidence-based techniques. However, you're also getting that holistic approach of the techniques that you're learning. So it's something that we do want to empower for this youth and, of course, our young adults to continue with their treatment and see how it might be beneficial to them to continue with their mental health and their holistic activities.
And that's really important, because we want to treat the person as a whole. You know, we want to make sure that they get every service that they could possibly need or want here at Imperial County Behavioral Health. So, you know, they can be part of the HOPE program. They can be receiving therapy services. They can be receiving medication services, nursing services, whatever service that they need to get them on their road and on the path to recovery. And, you know, even going to the gym, something hormones, you know, your endorphins, your serotonin, your dopamine, and that kind of stuff, which helps the person and your serotonin, your dopamine, and that kind of stuff, which helps the person, you know, heal, which and gives a person, you know, a good sense of self-esteem and to be able to do things that they want to do, you know, and plus also a sense of camaraderie. You know, you meet people at the gym, you talk to people at the gym, might make a new friend, you might see somebody that you already knew. You know, I see a lot of younger folks, you know, attending or going to the gym, you know, when I drive by and I see, you know, that's really cool. You know, they're starting that, starting from when they're young to be able to incorporate that into their lifestyle. Because, you know, this is a lot of things that we're learning when at this age from 13 to 25 that are going to be building the healthy habits that you're going to be having for the rest of your life. You know, it's good for you to go to the gym or to exercise and to do these things. And that's what we want to do. So you're doing that. You're promoting that, those healthy habits that they will hopefully always have for the rest of their lives. So that is a need to help them in their road to recovery.
Yeah, of course.
Our first segment. We are here said we are coming to the end of our first segment. We are here said we are coming to the end of our first segment. We are here with Melissa Vasquez, who is the program supervisor for the youth and young adult program HOPE, which means Holistic Outreach Prevention and Engagement Project. With that said, we're going to take our first commercial break and we'll be right back at you.
Let's talk about it, bringing community mental health issues to your radio. Listen each Sunday morning to KXO AM 1230 at 7 a.m. and now on Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Or log on to KXORadio.com for a 5-minute podcast highlight of the show or the show in its entirety. This program is produced by the Public Affairs Department of KXO AM 1230 and FM 107.5. Let's Talk About It is presented as a public service of Imperial County Behavioral Health Services.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Let's Talk About It, a radio show and podcast brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services, where we explore the depths of mental health, well-being, and self-care. I'm your co-host, Alfonso Ruiz, along with our host, Patricia Arevalo-Caro, and our guest speaker, Melissa Vasquez, Program Supervisor from Youth and Young Adults, and we're here talking about HOPE, which is the Holistic Outreach, Prevention, and Engagement Project. We've been learning about this throughout our show. So remember, whether you're here to learn more about mental health, or you're looking for a support, or just a little inspiration, you're not alone. This is a space to share, heal, and grow together. That's what I love about our show, and that's what I love about everybody that comes on our show to talk about mental health. You know, they're just such big supporters. So let's take a deep breath and let's keep on talking about HOPE. Melissa, welcome back. You know, we had a really good first segment talking about the program and some of the eligibility criteria. You let us know about the population served. It's for ages 13 to 25. And it is a program that you need to be referred to within our agency in case there is a psychiatric emergency in the first segment. Now, you know, I got some curiosity about this program. Once I'm admitted to the program HOPE, you know, what happens next? What should I expect?
Yeah, so what you should expect is that you will be assigned a mental health rehab tech and a peer support specialist upon admission. You will be receiving an initial contact, kind of like a friendly welcome to our program and just a brief education prior to meeting face-to-face with them. So that is the first thing that you will be receiving when you're admitted into the HOPE program. And that is those are going to be your main supports here within HOPE. Those are going to be your people that are going to be supporting your mental health services throughout your outpatient clinic. They're the ones that are going to be possible goals that you have for the future for yourself. These things that spark joy to you could be something that you've practiced in the past, fell off of like practicing, or it could be something that you've never tried that you've always wanted to try out in the community. So this is something that they would want to hear from you as an individual, because you will be guiding them through your interests to find that spark that you yourself have. For example, I know I mentioned something that you've done in the past. So possibly it's something like you playing guitar in the past that you really enjoyed and that kept you motivated. But of course, life happens, stressful times happen, and you kind of stopped playing guitar. But hey, like maybe it's something that you would want to pick up again, that you remembered how like that made you feel, that sense of relaxation, that sense of like confidence of you knowing how to play those solos. From the only one that I could think of that was a great soloist was Slash from Guns N' Roses.
Right on, yeah.
So it's just building, going ahead and reminding yourself that you had those strengths and that you can continue building on. So it's something that you can expect from your HOPE team to be there as a support to you throughout your mental health journey.
Okay. So I like everything I'm hearing. A lot of what I'm hearing sounds like I'm in the driver's seat. And I'm the one kind of steering the vehicle in the direction that I want, along with my team. Like, it sounds like they're really listening to me when I'm involved in this program. It sounds like there's a lot of communication with, you know, my larger team, which is with the outpatient clinic I'm receiving services with, or the individual is receiving services with. So I'm driving the driver's seat. And as long as it's realistic, there might be a possibility for the individual to participate in certain activities.
Yeah, of course. It's something that obviously we do want to keep here within the Imperial Valley and use our community resources. Some of the things that might be of interest here in the Valley would be like art, music, possibility of like exercising or swimming. So it's just, it all depends on what your individual interest is, and they would go off of that. And yes, like you mentioned, this is a program where that's the uniqueness of it, that you are being heard. Of course, you are being heard with all your services, but here, like, we want to empower you and to get to that self-sufficiency power of the driving the wheel. And how you mentioned, yes, it's always giving you that power of the driving the wheel. And how you mentioned, yes, it is very important for that active participation, because we want this program to be a benefit for themselves. So that's something that is unique here in the whole program. And just how I mentioned that they do get assigned a peer, that is something that is offered here in the whole program, that I believe for now, it's the only program that offers that service.
Yeah. You know, something also that I was hearing you say, and I don't think I've heard it Vince that's given, is thinking about something that brings us joy. I mean, let's really thinking about something that brings us joy. I mean, let's really think about that for a second and really bring that in. Like, how often do we even stop to think as adults, like, what brings me joy? And I think each and every one of us can take a minute to think about that and probably even smile by the thought of something that brings us joy or has brought us joy that we would like to do again. I mean, I've never heard that before. That's something amazing. That's something that really stood out for me. I've never heard that before. And like you were mentioning, Melissa, I think it's one of those things that makes this program unique from other programs that are offered out in the community. And it's really driven by our desires to instill joy and, you know, get to that place of continued resilience. I don't know if you said it earlier, but when I was doing a little bit of the research, I noticed that part of the team includes a peer supporter. You may have said it, I may have missed it, but what are peer support services?
Yeah, so a peer support service is somebody who has had that lived experience. So this assists the individual with like navigating the mental health symptom and providing that support from a non-judgmental manner, because like I mentioned, they do have that lived experience. And like I've mentioned before, this program is referred after that scary event in time that they experienced a psychiatric emergency, or possibly their first psychiatric emergency ever. Some of these individuals come to us and they've never received mental health services in the past. So it is a very scary time. So they have that support of navigating the system, answering any questions or concerns, not only for the individual, but as a support for the family. Because as you mentioned, as a parent, it could be such a scary time of unknown, like, how can I assist my son or daughter through this difficult time? So it's a support for the individual and for the family to navigate their mental health journey and to be there as with their own lived experience, that support.
I feel like that causes like a different level of reassurance, having somebody there who's, and you got your team corner, you know, kind of like in boxing, right? You got your corner of the ring and you got your team there to support you. And this peer supporter, somebody who's been inside that ring as a boxer themselves and gone through the 12 rounds to championship, right? And that's what I'm thinking of this peer supporter. I'm a very visual person, so that's kind of how I see it. And you know, pound for pound, they've been there. So I hope that resonates with our community when they're thinking of a peer supporter and how they are really there in your corner to help you be successful and are really boosting you as the individual, but all parents are involved, right? And for a parent, like you mentioned, Melissa, that could us here was a very scary time to realize that what led us here was a very scary time to realize that what led us here was maybe your child's desire to not live anymore. And that's a very scary situation to be in. So such a positive program to help people move forward.
One of the things that you did mention is a mental health rehab tech, that they're assigned a mental health rehab tech. What would my mental health rehab tech do for me as part of the HOPE program?
So your mental health, in a way of them kind of reminding you, the bending you of the importance of you continuing with your treatment, and they would be in constant communication with your outpatient treatment team. It's a lot of collaboration, a lot of what is benefiting you as an individual, what isn't, and kind of getting that feedback from two different points. And like I mentioned, this is a preventative program, so there is more constant follow-up. And so that's where the mental health rehab kind of comes into play, with the more clinical experience of possibly assessing for additional interventions that might benefit, or possibly linkage opportunities for the family or for the individual that could continue to assist their mental health symptoms. So that is how the mental health rehab tech kind of comes in play. So you get both of the best worlds. You do get that lived experience, and then you do get that kind of,
so when you say linkage, it's like
to your team here in the HOPE.
So when you say linkage, it's like, say maybe I need a food basket, they would give you like a resource list so that someone could go and get like a food basket, or is that kind of what you're talking about when you mention linkage?
Yes. So they would kind of educate, like find things that would benefit you from decreasing those mental health symptoms that are causing you that stress, or any problems that might be occurring. That is something that they would be able to assist you in.
Take it really great. People take for granted that there may not be food in the house, and that's causing that, you know, it may not have formula for milk for a sister or something, that, you know, it may not have formula for milk for a sister or something, that, you know, it may not have formula for milk for whatever, and that's causing stress. And, you know, as having worked previously in the crisis department, there was a lot of people who came through there who had active thoughts of unaliving themselves because of the fact that they didn't have certain resources like food, clothing, shelter. And those are the kind of things that alleviate those stressors from that person. So they're helping the family, they're helping everybody try and get the needed service person, they're helping the family, they're helping everybody try and get the needed service person, they're helping the family, they're helping everybody try and get the needed services and the resources that we have available for these folks here in the Imperial Valley, so that, you know, it would alleviate that stress. And that's a really awesome thing that you folks there are doing, because otherwise they may not get that help that they need. And so that's super, super important. And, you know, anytime we can do something to help somebody and to help them have a better path in life is just the greatest thing that we can do for them. So, you know, we really thank you for doing that for the folks that may not have that opportunity. So with that said, we are at the end of our second segment. We are going to take a brief commercial break, and we will be back with you in just a few minutes.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It. If you have questions about services Imperial County Behavioral Health may offer that deal with today's show topic, please about it is presented weekly on KXO AM 1230, FM 107.5, and KXORadio.com. As a FM 107.5 and KXORadio.com as a public service of Imperial County Behavioral Health Services.
Welcome back, Imperial Valley. We have the pleasure today of speaking with Melissa Vasquez, who is a program supervisor for the HOPE program, or the Holistic Outreach Prevention and Engagement Project. And we've had a really good show today, learning a lot about the program and what it offers to the people who are, or to the folks of the age of 13 to 25 that are clients of Imperial County Behavioral Health. And so, Melissa, if you would like to just kind of recap, the kinds of services that the HOPE team or the HOPE program offers to our youth from the age of 13 to 25.
Yeah, of course. This is a preventative program that is open to active participants or consumers here with Imperial County Behavioral Health within the ages of 13 to 25. They do have emergency, and that would fall into referral. Of course, just like any other service, the service individual that is going to very important to have that active participation from the individual that is going to very important to have that active participation from the individual that is going to very important to have that active participation from the individual that is going to be referred, because this service is going to be tailored to their needs and their interests and their hobbies, so very important. And I just want to reinforce the importance of that. These are confidential. We do protect their confidentiality, of course, whenever they're engaging in these community activities. We do want them to feel reassured that they're coming to us for help, and that we're very thankful that they instill that trust in us with their journey. So we do want to let them know that everything is confidential within these community activities that they're participating in, and how they will be working with their mental health rehab tech and their peer support to get to those activities. So they would be kind of exploring their interests and their hobbies, and kind of developing ways to participate and practice these wellness activities when they're actively participating with their outpatient clinic services. So those are some of the services that we do offer here only at the HOPE program, which would be the mental health rehab tech, and then the peer support and the linkage and the empowerment to participate in these wellness activities.
And I think you had mentioned about the services.
We want the participant to be in agreement to participate, because like I mentioned, this is to benefit them, and they would have to be an active participant and voicing those interests and voicing that want to participate in the activities. We want to set them up in a place where they're going to thrive and they're going to benefit from the service. So it is a voluntary service upon referral here in admission.
And one of the things is we like to hear some stories, and towards the ends of our show is we like to hear some stories, and I'm a big fan of hearing the success. And especially, because a lot of times we don't hear success stories. Sometimes we see things that aren't successful, and we have so many successes. And I think that it bears noting and it bears telling, because those are the folks that went through the program, were in a, in a crisis situation and got better. They were successful in their three stories. that you would like to share with us, that would be awesome.
Be rewarding to be able to witness. Of course, like you mentioned, it's very rewarding to be able to witness. Of course, like you mentioned, it's very rewarding to be able to witness that firsthand, that progress within that participation with the program, that spark that you instill in these individuals that they possibly had in the past, and it was lost for a little while, but it's back. So like one of the cases that I could think of was of a youth that participated in art and dancing lessons after experiencing a lot of anxiety, stress, and self-harming behaviors, and how that kind of tailored to them missing school. So with the active participation with the art and dancing, they were able to kind of trial what is it that sparks that joy in me. So yeah, they were able to identify that dancing was their calling. So they participating in dancing within our program, and it even got to a point of them being able to build those friendships, those supports out in the community, and they were able to participate in their summer dance recital because of that enjoyment that they found in that activity. After they graduated, they completed our program successfully. Parents were able to continue having a client be an active participant in this activity because they did see that improvement and that thrive, and very rewarding case. But it is very important to kind of assess this. But it is very important to kind of go back and take a moment and look at that. Look at how the whole program has been beneficial to the community. And we continue to hope, no pun intended, to instill that into the community and to our youth, that there is a road to recovery.
And that's super important, because a lot of times, you know, if somebody's in crisis, they may not see the end. And that's why they decided to do what they did, to end up in a crisis situation. And we, you know, as people that have been in, you know, around for a couple of years in the behavioral health system, it's nice to see people that, you know, you had that were in a crisis situation, and then you see them at a clinic and they're getting their treatment, whether it be therapy, medication, whatever kind of treatment they're getting, but they're getting treatment and they're getting better. And it's so nice. A lot of years, nothing more rewarding. I've been a staff for here for a lot of years, and was, you know, in clinics before and in crisis, you know, department also. And to have people come up and thank you, which I'm sure you're getting a lot of, to thank you for your help, to thank you for getting them in the path, because a lot of times they didn't feel like, you know, going and leading that path to recovery. And that is just so awesome, you know, and especially, you know, somebody who's between the ages of 13 to 25, they, you know, so many life decisions that they have to make, you know, what am I going to make? Going through all these different things. And then to end up in a crisis situation, and then to have people come in and help you in a crisis situation, and then to have people come in and help you and guide you. And not just you, but help out your family too. Because, I mean, it's stressful for the family too. Well, you know, we see the client, but family's also going through a bit of crisis. So
yeah,
that's awesome.
So always thinking of being very thankful to have this opportunity for these families to open the doors to their house to us, and having that trust in us as a program, and give us that opportunity at their most vulnerable state sometimes, and give us that opportunity to build them up, to build on those strengths that sometimes they forget, But they have them within themselves, and just that empowerment and that guidance throughout their mental health journey. It's very neat, very rewarding.
And we have just a few minutes. If you'd like to have another story that you'd like to share with us, we'd love to hear it.
Of course, I do have. I mentioned a youth. I can go ahead and share a case with an adult experiencing an attempt of overdose, which led to them being hospitalized. This individual had no previous history of ever receiving mental health services, so they were in desperate need and going through a very difficult time. So of course the HOPE program was there to assist, building on those strengths that the individual had, where they participated in piano lessons and they participated in the gym. Very, very active participant. He was very, to knew his mental health treatment. He was very adherent to his services of therapy and medication. And he participated in his wellness activities 4 times a week. That's something that we very much empower for them to find the time. Sometimes when you're going through these difficult times, it does become very overwhelming sometimes. But this individual was a very active participant, and after a few months of them receiving the HOPE program, there had been no additional psychiatric emergencies or overdose, and it got to the point of them being able to find employment after they've been receiving services for so long within our HOPE. So the success story here is because they found those interests with HOPE, they were able to continue with those interests with their own paycheck. So it's kind of a little bit more rewarding when you're able to provide for yourself. And of course, they did continue with their mental health journey, but we were there to assist for a short amount of time and just
I think that, we've spent the last almost hour learning about this program, and it is so it's so interesting because, like we said at the top of the hour, is that this was an innovation program, and this is something that the community asked for. They asked for it. They wanted more resources for the folks that are between the ages of 13 to, and then it was probably community forums and things like that that were held, and then it became a program. So it shows that there is a need, that there is a lot of participation, that there are folks that are utilizing these services so that they can get better and they can be on their road to recovery. And so that is just, and with all the help that you and your staff and the support that you give them is just phenomenal, because, we don't know, but that extra support, that extra, somebody guiding you through things or somebody helping you or giving you added thing that might help you on your road. So for that, we thank you.
Melissa, I want to say thank you for sharing the stories. Because it's nice to know that there is hope, like you said, no pun intended. For those that have gone through this program, and essentially it sounds like one of those situations where you do hit rock bottom, that there's a way up and there's a team to support you. And in both stories, what I heard is they were successful in continuing, and they had that level of resilience once the program was gone, right? That support was gone. They were left with the tools to continue to be successful and not fall back to being in that crisis situation. So I really appreciate you sharing those stories. And I think that they're also going to resonate with our community.
And with that said, we're coming to the end of our third segment and to the end of our show. We thank you, Melissa Vasquez, Program Supervisor for Youth and Young Adults of the HOPE Program. I thank my co-host, Alfonso Ruiz. And as always, I want to let you know that if you're in need of services, you can call our toll-free number at 1-800-817-5292, or you can call our other number, which is 442-265-1525, if you're ever in need of services from Imperial County Behavioral Health. Thank you for spending some time with us, and we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Sunday morning at 7 a.m. on KXO AM 1230 and each Sunday evening at 7 p.m. on FM 107.5. This weekly broadcast is produced by the Public Affairs Department of KXO Radio. This program features weekly community mental health issues on your radio. Let's Talk About It is produced for and presented as a public service by Imperial County Behavioral Health Service, Leticia Plancarte Garcia, Director. Our co-hosts for today's program were Patricia Arevalo-Caro and Alfonso Ruiz. Thank you for listening.